I'm hanging out with Sandile Mthembu.
Yebo, sanibonani.
Yeah. Siphuma manje isiZulu.
I mean umZulu. A part of me is Zulu, so it's phuma lapha isiZulu.
Another part
is Xhosa.
Really?
Yes, maternal Xhosa, paternal Zulu.
Snap. Okay, I would have never thought. Thank you so much for coming on to the podcast, The Ghetto Snob. We're all going to be talking about finances, young black people and finances. So, and you are very much in the financial space. What do you do?
Well, I studied accounting science, undergrad honors. Currently completing my articles in an audit firm. I'm not sure if I should mention it, but
if you want,
the Auditor General Office, we audit state-owned companies, departments, municipalities, anything that the state runs.
Wait, what does what you do, what does it entail? Because I sort of get an idea of what a doctor does. But nienzani manitsinya auditor kwentakalani?
Just societies are fixated about an independent opinion, especially when it comes to finances. So where we come in is where companies just need to explain the numbers in their financial statements. We need to look at the support as to whether or not it speaks to the outcome in the financial statements.
Okay.
To check whether or not the company is not lying to the public, because our finances get showcased in the public and companies need to be accountable for how they spend the money because of shareholders, stakeholders. So we just give that opinion of whether or not, from an independent view, what they compiled to my financial statements, is it likely to be true or not?
Okay. And then when you say, you said something about support. What is that about?
There's a long process that gets followed before the final results. I don't know if you've checked my financial statements, because it's just a summary of everything that happened in the year. So all of that must be sort of processed through invoices and different notes, and different authorities must sign and review all those things. So those are the things that we get to look at and follow them through to the final book.
So after your articles, what's the plan?
That question, I still struggle, but
do you get asked that a lot?
Not really, but when it does get asked. But right now, if there's an opportunity in the company, I will stay. But ideally, I would like to move into another sector within the financial field, maybe banking. I would also look into opportunities of moving out of the country if possible.
We are
people. I want to experience the global working culture and how it operates in different worlds, so I can have a broader perspective.
Yeah. I don't think you'd come back though.
It will depend. Yeah. I'm gonna have to take a selfish decision of whether life is better there. I will miss the country, but you know what? So one of my ends, but I'd really
Godspeed.
Like it to happen. Godspeed, yes.
Godspeed for when it does happen.
Yeah,
and then, in terms of you making the decision to study what you studied, for me, studying law was always because mkhulele ekushini, and I'd see like abantu esikhula nabo or abantu abasikhulisayo, they face like gross injustice or misunderstanding of the law. And then next thing, whereas if this person had financial means, then they would be able to seek out financial advice. And I think above and beyond a lot of things, that was the foundation that made me sort of choose law. But for you, you're in a financial space. What was the reason behind that?
I think, your reason is quite personal and I really, really like it. And I think that is really helpful in terms of how you also receive to the profession and like to the work that you do. And it's going to help out a lot.
Thank you.
With me, I don't think my reasons are that personally vested. I honestly understood the subject quite well at school. I was confused about what I wanted to do. Yes, but I will just indicate that education is still closest to my heart, but you know, when I looked at what I was good at school, I started doing research around those subjects,
mm-hmm.
and the financial sector, chartered accountancy to be specific, popped out.
Okay.
Because it seemed like the prime sort of outcome when you take like a commercial field. Yeah. So to be honest, that was the core reason I really understood the field. Yeah. I did enjoy studying the field also, and I felt like it's where I am likely to succeed.
Yeah. Because
like, yeah, so it was survival conversations, but as I'm going further into it, I realized the value now that it has on the broader society, particularly with sort of the public sector that I'm in currently.
Yeah,
I get to see the value, and I'm just thankful for the other soft reasons of why I'm studying it. What I studied, even though I'm realizing it very late.
Yeah, I think that. I think also it's very like important to find purpose ultimately. Yeah. That will also be like, that'll determine your durability or whether you stay, durability in the profession.
Yeah.
And then with you having said what you said about understanding and like the choice of the career, has it for you personally, not, I just want to know on a personal level, has it impacted you personally in terms of like how you handle your finances? Do you think more than the layperson, again, I'll make reference to, this is a bit narcissistic, but I'll make reference to myself. I have a better understanding of the law than a layperson. Where now the shoe is on your foot. Do you feel like you've got a better understanding of finances? Has it impacted your finances in a positive way? And if so, how?
Yes, absolutely. All those questions. Yes, yeah. It did impact the way I look around money and budgeting and spending. You know, it made me focus more on cost versus value.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it just makes you analyze. Let me say analyze it. Like, it's not that deep, but the way you look at your expenditure is always going to be assessed as to necessity, as to, you know, are there any alternatives? Because we're always just like looking for alternatives, and you're always looking for value for the most reasonable price. So it's only the study instilled that principle within me, and I do believe it's positive, because. I mean, money management is a very important skill in the world, and it's becoming increasingly important with all these financial crises and all these international trade debates, and it's just becoming more and more important to just know the trail of money. So that's what my studies have sort of instilled in me, and it's a skill that I think is going to be very beneficial just as a general life skill.
Yeah.
And yeah.
You mentioned something about costs and I think I missed the other word.
Benefit, but yeah.
Cost and yes, you mentioned something about that. What's that about?
Okay, so it's just about looking at the quantity that you need to spend for an item.
Okay.
And assessing whether or not it makes sense to use that amount for that thing, you know. So yeah, I think everyone does do it innately, but when you study, you get to focus more on the inputs. And I mean, does it really cost this much to get this item? Should I really pay? And what am I getting with this amount? Is it value, whether it's substantial, whether it's because my whole ban out there, especially when it comes to such things. So it just has broadened my eye in terms of how I look at purchases, and I think it does help me to make wiser decisions.
What's the one financial mistake that you feel like we are making? Because white kids, and this is just like asking, white kids come from families where they are taught financial literacy, and maybe if we are owner a company or whatever, and the father's doing like audits in the company, the father will teach the child, and although they might not have like varsity level skills, but it equips them prior to getting into the field to know. So from a practical view, umuntu sekayazi already. Manje wena uzibuyela lokushina, what's next? Yinakubhajethwa, but sizobona next month, you know what I mean? So what's the one financial mistake? If you can make it one, if there's more than one, please let us know what are the financial mistakes that we often make as young people.
Sure, okay, yes. And I think, yeah, there are quite often financial mistakes that we make as young people.
Yeah.
Personally, I to be honest, I still am unhappy with the amount that I spent on entertainment. I think, you know, that's the one thing that I believe is setting me back quite a bit.
Yeah.
Because I do spend a lot on entertainment, and young people also do spend a lot on entertainment. Another financial mishap is the fixation young black people have with cars, you know, and just with debt driven assets, you know. We really want nice things to the point where even where we can't afford them, we just can't afford the way in which you can at least just like work around it, and sometimes it just puts people in weird corners. So, you know, things like cars, a common financial young black people's mistakes, moving into lavish places or expensive places for no reason. You know, there's a lot of societal pressures, there's a lot of home pressures, and I think running into debt is always going to be the biggest financial mistake.
But Mauti in the very motone, I totally understand and I totally like agree with you on that one. But I think for me personally, and I could be wrong because I don't know anything about finances, that obtaining a loan for a car is much easier than obtaining a loan for a house. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. For me, it's a bit tricky. It's a bit tricky because even the way our system is set up, you are automatically set up for you to obtain bad debt, if there is such a thing.
Yes, there is.
Vis-a-vis good debt.
Yeah.
So...
Yes, and I agree, but you know, what is for me is the differentiating factor is sort of the amount that you take out. I mean, you need to be reasonable to your means, and there's nothing wrong with debt. You know, you can take out the debt to 1,000 and pay it back, and you get a good score. You know, if you'd like to get a car, look for a car that's reasonably priced. Look for a car with reasonable terms. Because I mean, I'm not saying that you shouldn't get into debt, but just get into calculated, analyzed debt that is very specific to your analysis, your needs analysis, your financial needs analysis. So I think the issue comes in where commonly you find that young people are just going, they go for large valued items because the debt sort of deals with the immediate expense of getting the item to yourself. So I mean, debt is okay, but uncalculated debt is a mess, and it's always likely to like catch you off guard because what you call it,
do you think we will be poor our whole lives?
Well, I optimistically I do not think so. I think conversations about finances and just getting the bag are becoming more widespread, but I don't think I can speak for everyone. I think everyone must just personally realize the importance of just making sure your pocket is structured a certain way and to avoid extreme conditions, you know. And everyone really really can like structure the way the money moves around to sustain them for the longest that they possibly can. So do I think we'll be poor in the future? I hope not. And I just want to say I don't think so, because I think that's where my mind is running towards.
And I just like appreciate your appreciation of the fact that we don't really have to own lavish cars as young people, because that's just the one way that you'll be poor your whole life. Now you've got this car debt and then you can't pay it off, and then on top of that there's a pressure in society with the latest, you know what I mean? So just also from the environments that we live, or the environments that we come from, already so near pressure with extend, you know what I mean?
And that's what's really important, you know, the conversation that you need to have with those people who have my expectation, you know. Because I work, I'm also quite entry level where I work, and I work with a lot of other young black colleagues, and they constantly say how it's hard for them to even explain to their families when they aren't able to meet, you know, those family commitments, you know. loosely tied to this black tags.
Yeah.
I think just for understanding, you know, how they struggle to, they drown in those expectations because they always want to keep them abreast. They always want to be well spoken of in the family and all those things. But it's really important we take care of it to like, listen.
Yeah.
This is my situation, you know, and because if in giving, you know, is willing, then it becomes easier, you know. But I don't want to speak for other families where you really are the breadwinner and you really have to do it. That's a different conversation. But you know, honest financial conversations must be had in black households, so everyone can just feel like they can independently exercise decisions about their money. And just freely like move it to the family if they can. Not this expectation that just always if what's about do too much about the car, and you become very unhappy. You always complain about the car.
What do you reckon, just from a personal point of view, what do you reckon is the reason why we can't speak to like our families about the fact that yo, vetu mina ngola 5,000 and 5,000 and 2,000 contribute 1,000 how is it that we are unable to have these conversations with our parents? Because our brothers and sisters, our older brothers and sisters, we're a different generation, you know what I mean? And they probably kinda couldn't, because maybe with the webo na ekaya, but with us we you still get like quite a few people that struggle with having those conversations.
Yes.
Why do you reckon that's the case?
Actually, I think it really does run deep, because I believe no past lessons and past ways of parenting in, I hate saying black households, but I'm going to constantly say black households because that's what
we
I know.
We grew up in black households.
You know, black households. Yeah. The idea of certain conversations is always still a taboo. You know, that can also be taken to conversations about sex, just in this example. There are certain conversations that aren't encouraged nor introduced by abantabadala endlini. So it's even hard for us kids. I think that the difficulty comes in where you realize that that space is not created. That is not a thing endlini, you know.
That's true.
And that's because as for, I don't want to be problematic. We don't know, as for by those kids about to pay you. Hey, no, no, and like, I think that's what incentivizes a lot of young people to just like stay away. So now cool young and just like throw whatever money at the problem. So yeah, I just think it's the spaces that different families create within the family. So I mean, if you are one of they're not trying to bring that up, I really do suggest that you try bring it up in a very amicable way. I mean, can come in casually, be like, phew, okay, but it's gonna depend on the facts of the event.
Yeah.
You know, when who might chat about Timandi, I'm always like, I always advise that if you try to explain to your parent your difficulties about your money is by sort of being honest about your expenses, right? And the important expenses, you know, you speak of any lunch money for work, transport money, you know, I need to do this, this and that. And therefore, I have only this amount of which I can. I mean, you just need to be honest. I think about Funichello, man. And I do believe they'll understand if you really are being honest about like the situation instead of taking it blindly because it's not gonna help anyone.
I don't really have that pressure, Mina, personally.
Yeah.
And I'm really grateful. It's not something that I take for granted because I understand who don't have the same privileges. But I often sometimes find my mom, she'd say things like, hey, as if you need anything, and my problematic, my mom.
Yeah.
Or especially if we have an amanje, anga holy, and among our holy, ni last tag, gabi, I'm bambeg.
Yeah.
And then I see, hey, as last week, hey, last week, ilaini, ni last week, umam, utigimi. Hey, Jasmine Funa, it was the edge. I mean, I was too late.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I was too late because yes, with it was the edge, I could have patched in yam.
Exactly.
But it's we're telling you, as how we're saying,
yo.
I couldn't even hold it. And it's not out of disrespect. It's out of saying, do you not have regard for the fact that I've got expenses?
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Yes. So what did you say to her? But
no, I'm tell we angna mali. I just said we angna mali. And you said something about being honest about our expenses. And I think if I had to show my mom, because mina ya budget, and like, oh girl, oshala ni budget.
Okay. Yeah,
well,
okay.
Well, sometimes. But I usually compile a budget based on how much I'm expecting to receive in that month and okay. how much I'm expecting to spend. And I think with some things, she won't understand why I'm spending imali on those things. Like, it's more, well, okay, internet I pay for at home.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to think of like something that she would be like, why are you spending money on this?
Okay.
Like, a friend of mine has a gig in October. And if I get back in, with imali...
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, songs or contribute. I'm also 400 rand to the kiao. Ni fagile la popaz. I'm a bev, must figure pa me. Ni fagile pachetin. But if I had to sit down with my mom okay. and be like, na pachetin, I don't understand. Kona manju pachetin yung October, ang pale koni 2 pieces ni funai. Pale 2 pieces. Ang yung understand, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, yo, it's very tricky. And I think the one thing that I'm also like very worried about is becoming that parent. Even though sometimes like our parents don't say it, how I'll contribute to this month. So I just, yeah, it's, and that's why it underlines the question, or it begs the question for me anyway. Are we going to be poor our whole lives? Like, is this cycle going to continue? Because now that I'm working, I need to pay a move at Bali. And by the time I have the means, I'm already starting a family.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's generations before us have also been noticing very like, I think number 7 is very frustrated by the idea of always having to give back, you know? Normality, which you always start at home, which I think is a great principle, and I'm not against it. But what I'm against is your personal sustenance being compromised at the expense. Of course, if you are not happy, or not necessarily if you are not, I personally believe that if you are not fulfilled, you know, it's gonna even be hard for you to be fulfilling in your acts for others. I strongly believe. I know it's very philosophical, but yeah. So, you know, I think I'm happy that we're realizing the conversation, that the issue with that, but I do believe it was seen also in the past. What's important is for us now to actually break the cycle that you're mentioning, understanding that, you know, we've been in this position, we know how it feels, especially when you have kids, let's just say in the future, and you understand how it feels. We need to realize the freedom that it caps. We need to realize the psychological and like weight that it puts on you while young. Well, but most I say young fit to doing energy, man, you know, and such things do sort of like hinder a lot of like freedom basically, and which I don't believe is good, you know, for just the brain and the young person trying to figure themselves out in the world. It just, for me, there's a bigger harm than just, you know, like, you just also feel compromised as well personally.
That's, you know, Usually 2 months or just for the fact that when you go home you always have to show something for it. Listen, especially people that like don't live ababuya emakaya, so from like the rural areas, and they go to the city to work. Now when you go home you always have to be utengin bath, I'm a plastics on plastics and things like that. And I don't wanna lie, I love being black, but that's just the one thing about being black that really irks me. In as much as I do want to give back, I can't. I'm not in a position where I can give back. Instead, if, in my opinion anyway, if we had equal redistribution, that's 1994, we said we are resetting.
I said
1994, factory settings. If that was the case, you know what I mean? But if we were going back to factory settings and we were being equal and whatever, there would have been an equal redistribution of resources. And you wouldn't have had problems that we are having today. Absolutely. With regard to finances, whereas someone else is living in an apartment in Sandton, a student, first year student at Wits, driving a C200 or whatever the case is, you know what I mean? And that's a type of support that I feel like, if we were really free in the sense that in the false sense that 1994 gave, then we would have had the opportunity for our parents to be like, listen, where do you understand? You're going to study adverts. Where do you understand? You've got options, because that's what money gives you. Money gives you options.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Secondly, do you need a car? You need a car in varsity.
You
though.
Do.
Like, high key, low key. I mean, you walk, but like,
but, yeah.
Sometimes you just like, oh, I can't take the Vitz bus because it's the absolute ghetto. You know what I mean? So, had there been proper restoration in the sense that, in the false sense that was given to us at 94, I genuinely feel like we would have been on equal footing. Yeah. But we are not.
Yes, and that's the reality. You know, that dream was just a dream. And our country is just terribly run, if you want to be specific. To the country, like it can't run. It's badly run. Sorry,
it
there
is.
Are no jobs. The economy is just a mess. So there just needs to be a selfish realization from every young black person, in particular, you know, of how you just like need to secure yourself first.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
And I think that's where the conversation should move. I do believe that ekhaya uncedise makhona. You know, I'm not. Against
if you can
corner, you know, uncedise and uncedise reasonably. I mean, most like ekhaya usebenza makuthengwa igrosa, come on,
contribute,
but the electricity, you know, just
contribute.
Alleviate where you can. When now it just becomes like a additional like garnishing, you know.
Whoa.
I mean, there are levels to helping out. That's where the problem comes in. So in the like, so yeah, I think given the facts of the state, I think it's really important, Guti, personally, to understand, Guti, imali, because this country, let me know you said this word, this country is not there to help you out.
That's
and
true.
It's easy to lose money in this country. It's easy to lose a source of income in this country.
Mm.
So just make sure that when you have it, there's a certain way that you handle it. And to make sure, Guti, man, it's sustainable, should any eventuality fall through. Yeah.
What are some of... I think I remember I wanted to ask this. What are some of the expenses that we have as young black people? Because I'm black, I can only speak from that perspective.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Things like, I recently wanted to join if you know Ralakava, and then I thought, no, man, what if Lomuntara showed me? And then what? My premiums. Babes, I can't. You know what I mean? And I just feel like that's just like, paying for your funeral cover is a
yeah. Like many other like insurance avenues, particularly
yes.
in this country, you should even see the way they market them. They always put in so much fear. Should you die?
What if I don't die?
Like, you know, in a funeral, there's just like so much like
yeah.
So put insurance in the way, and like insurance is just taking advantage of that fear in the country.
Mm.
Even with like cars, they're always directed via hijacking and
so, what if you don't get hijacked?
What if you don't get hijacked? And I mean, people do get hijacked. It just sucks how you know, they're coining it from that angle. It's just conniving, you know. It's very capitalist.
Capitalism,
yeah.
Dude, yeah.
It is. So yeah, if you're not a cover girl, I think it is safe to have some insurance. Just don't over insure and go for
what
the...
is being over insured.
Okay, I mean, I'm not sure if there's a definition, but I do believe it's reasonably now. I'm at £30 and you, firstly, I would just say cover your assets. You know, if you've covered your asset, right, and you paying amount to a pension fund, you know, I do believe like sort of those things, just the basics. Don't go for premiums that have comprehensive benefits that you're not gonna need, you know. Each, agreement, just set, assess it, see whether or not you can push it down. Look at all this covering, think of whether or not that is enough, because if things change, you can change the premium.
You can amend
all those things. Just people just need to realize Guti imali does not have to be spent, you know. And if you do spend it, just make sure Guti it meets the most immediate demands and at the lowest price, you know.
In conclusion, what are ways that we can, I mean, obviously the government is not going to help us
build
our wealth as Black people. And we are not going to help each other because as Black people, we really don't like each other. And that's the honest truth. Because if you see me selling amatamati, you'd rather go to Pick n Pay.
Yeah, to Tengi Bag Corn.
Or go to ShopRite and support Nupason. Yeah. Nupason, what's a ShopRite? Yenalo, you'd rather support that person.
Yeah, rather.
So the government is not going to help us. We are not going to help each other.
Mm.
But maybe financial institutions might help. I don't know. I save every month. Like, it's religious. Every month I just have to have like a sum of money that I put aside.
Yeah.
But then because I'm not a financial expert, I don't even know if I'm going about it the right way. So in your opinion, what are some of the ways that we can like slowly try build our wealth, even though it's like a long-term option?
Yeah. I mean, information about financial management now is much more accessible.
Mm-hmm.
So just as a basic, do a search in Google, easy way, quick way to save money. It's going to give you an exhaustive list. But just basically things like, also my financial institutions, you know, you can inquire about the options they have on saving and what you get for return.
Mm.
So there's a lot of ways that you can do it. There's a lot of practical ways that can be done, but I don't think we have the time to deal with that. Just a few. So things like savings account are a great idea because it generates interest just by you putting money to the side. Mm-hmm. But people struggle to save, but I think it's the most safest way to have a rain fund that keeps on growing year on year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look into easy equities. There is now apps. My goodness. So there's an app called Easy Equities. It shows you the different shares that are available to be bought. It's easier now to buy shares, look at companies. And I'm gonna you don't have to do like hectic analysis with is this company making money or not? You know, because there's very like compressed results of how different companies do financially. So Mongatola just that easy equities app, you see the list of all those companies and try to play around there. I mean, it is fun and it does generate money on its own.
The app?
Yeah, there's an app called Easy Equities.
Okay, so download the app. I need to put in money in order to participate in the generating of funds?
Well, you download the app, right? And then it shows you the shares, you know, that are available
in
all these big companies and other medium companies.
Mm-hmm.
They tell you how much that share is.
Mm.
And when you buy that share, you hold that stake in that company. So sort of distribution of, if there's a distribution of profit, if that dividend is paid, you get paid your share. I mean, sometimes it can be really small, but it is a start.
Nonetheless.
But it's just, if you are able to invest in property, if you have the funds to invest in property, if you can get a flat so that you can rent, if you can work on a bedroom, I mean, it does take time to make money, given where we're from and given what our parents are given.
Mm.
But maybe like 1,100
money.
And savings is the easiest way, the most accessible way, I would suggest. Because other things just need you to apply for, you need to, there's just a lot of, a lot of red tape, a lot of bureaucracy that you're going to have to go through. And that also demoralizes people by participating in all those things. So when you're young, just check if your banking option has a savings option, has a fixed deposit option, and just play around with that. That as a start will help you out and just research. I mean, it's becoming easier and easier to participate in finances and like all those things. So look into that and I'm sure there is going to be a very innovative way that you can try to bump the cheese up,
I actually just thought of something now that you were talking about rain fund.
Yeah.
I just have a general savings account, but I think I'm also going to have like an additional on a rainy day. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining me on my podcast. I'll have you on again once the cheese has bumped up.
So this is a revisit of
financial literacy and like, are we really going to be poor our whole lives? Thank you, Sandy Lemtembo. Where can people find you if people want to follow you?
Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness. Yes. Firstly, thank you for inviting me with you. I do hope I added some value. Yes. And if you're trying to find me, Sandy Lemtembo, @Sandy Lemtembo _ on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
at smtembo_ on Twitter.
Yippee.
Yep. Love you all.
It was a celebrity. Bye. Bye.